Hello, 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 everyone. You're now tuned into Unorthodox Real, and I'm your host, Relicious. And today we have a special guest with us today, my first international guest. Please introduce yourself.
I'm so honored to be the first international guest. I mean, I'm just in Canada, so it's not too exciting. But my name is Noam, and I'm a medical student, and I'm about to tell you all about me, so I'll save that for later.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on. So we're going to start with rapid-fire questions. So the first question is, what is the one thing you would put on your bucket list right now?
Oh, I'd love to travel absolutely anywhere. I think the pandemic has made that basically impossible. I think yeah. Iceland. I want to go to Iceland.
Iceland? You're actually the second person who said that.
Really?
Yeah.
Group trip to Iceland.
Are you a morning or a night person?
Definitely a morning person. My brain shuts off at about 7 p.m., even if I try to fight it.
What is one thing that annoys you the most?
I think like people chewing, which is so classic, but like could grind my gears for days. Yeah. I can't stand it.
What is your favorite hobby?
I'd say baking, I think. Yeah. Baking? Just like when I don't have a time limit on it too, and I can just spend like hours just working on a recipe. I think that's my favorite.
Okay. So what is your lifelong dream?
Oh, well, kind of cheesy, but to be a doctor, and I'm in medical school, so pretty happy about that. Yeah. But I also have a lot of other dreams. Yeah. But yeah, definitely being doctor is a big one. Mm-hmm.
What new technology do you think will transform the future?
Oh gosh, I am the kind of person who is like so scared of technology taking over the world because I just love like just genuine wholesome communication and hate yeah. that we're losing it. Mm-hmm. I think basically it's going to take over everything. I mean, I guess like computers. I don't know if that's like super big. I'm so not technologically endowed. I don't know much.
And the final question for Rapid Fire is, what is your favorite song right now?
Oh, that's such a hard question. I don't know. I've been really liking Thomas Rhett, who's a country artist. I think mm-hmm. just any of his recent stuff has been really good.
Oh, that's good. So let's get into the podcast. So I ask every single guest, since my podcast is called Unorthodox Real, I ask, what makes you unorthodox? What do you yes. believe makes you unorthodox?
Totally. Yeah, I love that idea of your podcast or that principle. Well, I think like once you kind of came up to me with this podcast, I was kind of thinking about that and trying to kind of put that into words. And mm-hmm. this quote that always comes to mind and one that I think about a lot is, your life doesn't need to be a novel. It can just be a series of short stories. And mm-hmm. what that kind of means to me is that you don't have to just do one thing. You can do as many things as you'd like, and you should, and things that make you happy and fulfill you. So I think that kind of relating to me as a medical student, I think, mm-hmm. and not that it's bad by any means, but a lot of other medical students or people in these high stress professions kind of put their whole life into one thing, which is yeah. being a doctor or being a nurse or being a lawyer, et cetera, et cetera. And although I am so grateful and so happy to be in medical school, it is my lifelong dream, like I said, there's also so many other parts of me that I've never felt like I needed to give up to get to where I am. And I think yeah. that can make maybe some other people uncomfortable or not really understand kind of why I'm doing this and why I'm not just focusing on med school if I'm already here. But to me, it makes sense. And that's kind of all that matters.
That's good, because life is truly all about balance.
Exactly.
So tell us about your journey to medical school in terms of like, did you always know you wanted to be a doctor when you were young, and like your how you got to where you are today as a second totally. Year.
Yes. So yeah, I've known I've wanted to be a doctor since I was like 5, which is like so cheesy and standard for medical students. But basically this is a little bit of a long story, but I'll try to wrap it up.
No, it's fine. It can be as long as you want it to be.
All right. Well, when I was 5, I was actually diagnosed with a brainstem tumor. And that kind of led to me obviously being in the hospital for a long time growing up. I'm totally fine today. So grateful for that. So grateful to be living the life I am today and not really dealing with the repercussions of that too much. Mm-hmm. I mean, except for I think some of the principles and values it taught me. But when I was like 5, 6, 7, kind of in the hospital a lot, I would always tell my parents, like, I'm going to be a doctor when I grow up. And they were like, mm-hmm. okay, no, I'm like, be quiet. Like, we'll see about that. I don't know. But I kind of stuck with that. And then I grew up and I went to middle school and high school and I was like, no, like I really love art and English and stuff like that. And kind mm-hmm. of forgot about the whole doctor thing for a while because I really wanted to do something creative when I grew up. Mm-hmm. Which is crazy to say when I grew up because that means I'm grown up now, which is so scary. I'm definitely still a kid in some ways. But then I think it was like halfway through high school, we were in science class and we were learning about cancer and kind mm-hmm. of the mechanism behind it. And I was just so intrigued and so fascinated by it. And then from there, I kind of said, no, I really do like science. And maybe I also like these other creative types of fields, but there's no reason I can't do both. And the more classes I took in science in high school, I'm like, I know I want to do science in undergrad, and it all kind of just fell into place. And I just love learning and wanted to keep learning. And medicine is really a field where you can always learn because things are always changing, hopefully for the best.
So,
that's me in a nutshell.
So I saw you graduated like recently. Well, you got your degree. Yes. I saw it on your story. Congratulations. So you were saying that you like graduated in 3 years. Like, how does that work? Because I don't know if it's different for Canadians than it is in America.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it works this way in America, but in some schools for Canada, not all schools, but some of them don't have like having an undergrad degree as a prerequisite. It's just like certain prerequisite courses or just like having already taken the MCAT and having a certain number of credits or something like that. Mm-hmm. So that actually allows for you to apply without actually graduating, which usually I think the earliest is really third year for you to have had time to kind of write the MCAT and get prerequisites, et cetera. And I guess they try to just not take the age into account in terms of that and just kind mm-hmm. of go based off like a holistic score. So yeah, it's pretty common in Canada, but I only found out once I kind of got on the internet that I wasn't like that in the US, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I actually just graduated undergrad.
Wow, congrats.
While in med school. But that's
tell the people how old you are, because you are actually very young to be a second year technically.
Yeah, I'm 22, which is, I think, definitely on the younger end for Canada. There's so much variability, again, internationally with how med school works. That some people are like, oh, 22, that's so old. Like if they're in Europe and they start med school at 18, true. And other people are like, what? You're 22?
Yeah.
So, yes.
So let's go on to your blog or your Instagram. So what made you start your blog Wellness MD and name it that?
Mm-hmm. So I actually like throughout, I think like the end of high school and undergrad, I'd have like these like mini like food accounts where I'd post my recipes and stuff too. I had one with a friend at one point. And I always really loved just like taking the photos and making it aesthetic, but also the cooking and the baking aspect and kind of sharing that. But I'd always like make an account and then delete it and had like a million different names. And I was like, I want to do this. No, I don't want to do this. And like dealing with people's criticisms, even if it wasn't to my face of like, oh, this is dumb. This is stupid, whatever. So kind of always went back and forth doubting it. And then I think like just starting med school a few months in, I was like, I really miss having that outlet. And I wanted to kind of have something outside of school that I can put my energy into, specifically something creative, like I mentioned. It's really important to me to kind of have those outlets. And this was a way for me to do so and actually kind of have a voice and do something about it. And mm-hmm. So I was like, yes, I want that creative aspect again. But also I noticed just a gap in medical school, people not talking about the lifestyle factors relating to disease and kind of all those root causes, like what you eat, how much you work out, your stress levels, your sleep levels, like taking this holistic approach to health and trying to get those root causes rather than just treating illness is something that's really important to me moving forward as a future physician. And I figured this Instagram blog or blog, whatever you want to call it, would kind of be a way for me to share some things I'm learning, obviously in the approach of I'm not a doctor yet, this is just the research, but also just connecting with more like-minded people and showing people that you can have a balance even as a medical student. You can prioritize these things that are important for your health. And you don't need to kind of give up the rest of your life just to be a medical student. It should be why you're a medical student, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Your blog is very aesthetically pleasing. I don't remember how I found you, but I made your blueberry chia jam. And okay. That was the first thing I ever made with the two ingredient pancake. And I was like, wait, this is actually really good. So now I just make the jam and just keep it in my fridge. So how do you take your pictures, and do you plan your posts in a way?
Yeah. So in terms of taking my pictures, I like some people use like DSLR cameras and all of that. Yeah. I literally just use my iPhone. Good lighting is like absolutely everything. Like if I bake at night, I'll wait till the next day to take a photo of it. Like I don't even try with like the artificial lighting. Yeah. But I've just learned like the more organic the post, the better they perform and the more people relate to them. So instead of like over editing the color and the contrast and the saturation, I just like to keep it super simple and natural. And I think that also kind of goes into just like my values as a, I guess, blogger. Just I want it to be my real life. I never want it to seem staged and like perfect or anything like that. So
yeah,
seriously, just my iPhone and maybe just like editing the brightness here and there. And yeah, I'll like sometimes plan kind of just so my feed looks nice. Like maybe I'll post like a recipe and then like a quote and then like something else and kind of change it up. But sometimes I'll wake up and like, no, I have to post this today. Like there's something on my mind and I have to say it. And like, so that totally gets in the way too. And just kind of having fun with it. I never wanted to make it seem like a job or anything like that.
Yeah. When did you start baking? Because it seems like a lot of your posts are kind of baking style. It's like less dinner, but it's also a lot of breakfast. So when did you start baking?
Totally. Yeah. So I think I kind of got into baking when I was like in high school-ish, because I wanted to start eating healthy. I mean, at the time, probably not for the best reasons. I was like, I want to be healthy and look good, et cetera, dealing with all of that body image stuff a lot of teenage girls do. But I've always loved sweets and like did not want to give that up. So I was like, I guess I'll just like find some like healthy alternatives to what I wanted to bake. And I was also going through some like stomach issues, wanting to cut out gluten, et cetera, and then dairy. So I had to get really creative with how I wanted to make my desserts and kind of have those things I really love still kind of in my diet. So I started experimenting and playing around and just kind of kept doing that since. And I think more so now, it's not in a focus of like being quote unquote healthy or trying to lose weight. It's just like certain ingredients and nutrients that I want to fuel my body with and be healthy in that sense. And I just kind of enjoy playing around with it still, but definitely from a better aspect these days.
So how do you create your recipes, or do you have inspirations that you look up to in terms of like, okay, I should put these together and see what it becomes? Or do you just like have a recipe book? Walk us through that process.
Yeah. So I think usually what ends up happening is like, I'll think like kind of like I was saying, like I'll be like, wow, I really want like sugar cookies today. And I'll go and look up like the recipe for normal sugar cookies. And I think just over time, kind of doing this for so many years, I like know what those substitutes can be for healthier options. So swapping out like maple syrup for sugar or like oat flour for flour to kind of get more nutrients that way. And then I also kind of have already known like, oh, if you do almond flour, you need less water. If you do oat flour, you need more. So kind of just playing around and making them that way is usually how it happens. Or like once I kind of have that base recipe, I'll end up playing with it. So like I have like a banana bread recipe base that like I'll just make like carrot cake out of and then make like chocolate banana bread and keep switching it up like that. So yeah, I feel like that's kind of it. Honestly, it's like super systematic and like sciencey in my mind, which is kind of funny. And I guess all kind of relates back to me being a little bit of a nerd.
Yeah. I mean, food science is science.
For sure.
What is your favorite thing to make?
Oh, that's such a good question. I'd have to say like banana bread. I really love banana bread, or like banana bread donuts, banana bread cupcakes. I feel like I always have some on hand in my house.
So we're gonna go move on to the fear foods. So I saw that you made like a highlight talking about fear foods. I don't think I've ever heard that term used before you started posting about it. So can you tell us a little bit more about that and like why you went like a few days eating quote unquote fear foods?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I don't know if it's like ever been an official term or something that I just like came across and vibed with and decided to carry on my own. But essentially my kind of thought process with that is, and I think a lot of people who have been down that rabbit hole of like dieting and restricting and body image and all of that, diet culture is just so toxic in so many ways and has taught us that certain foods are quote unquote bad. And I hate labeling foods as good or bad, at least now once I kind of got to that realization, just because that gives food so much power. And some foods are perhaps more nutritious than other foods. Like I love calling like, oh, this recipe has amazing ingredients rather than saying, oh, it's a clean recipe that's low calories or it's good for you. Because everything is good for you in a sense. I mean, even eating like a piece of regular old chocolate cake is good for your soul sometimes. So I think just like taking away those labels that society and diet culture has put into all of us is so essential. And it took me a long time to kind of get to that point. And I think the reason was is because a lot of people I kind of looked up to and people I followed who were seemingly living healthy and balanced lifestyles were like not eating these foods. I was like, I can't eat these foods either. So I started a little like, I guess, series on my Instagram where I was just like, tell me what your fear foods are. And fear foods could be something kind of obviously unhealthy, like Oreos, which don't have much nutritional value. Or for some people, and including myself in the past, it could be something like peanut butter, which is totally good for you and to certain degrees, of course. But diet culture just told us, oh, it's high calorie, it's high fat, it's bad for you. And I kind of hated making those associations. So I would just make stories basically eating these foods that people think are scary and they're too scared to eat, kind of showing them like, I'm someone who you probably look at and say, oh, look, she's a med student. She's living a healthy lifestyle. If she can eat that in moderation, maybe they can too. And like, even if it helps one person, I thought it would just be a nice little thing to do and to connect with other people who've been through similar experiences. And I got a really great response. So it's been really rewarding. And yeah, I'm definitely excited to kind of continue talking about that kind of stuff on my page.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting that you did that series, and it was kind of eye-opening to think that like some of the foods that you were eating that people thought was fearful, but in the grand scheme of things, that's what a lot of diet culture really says. You shouldn't be eating pizza, you shouldn't eat pasta, but it's like, yes, you can.
Totally, exactly. I think even moderation, but I think every food can have a role in someone's life and in someone's diet. I mean, obviously, to certain degrees, if you're allergic to something or have a medical condition, maybe not. But I mean, other than that, there is nothing wrong with eating pasta. Pasta is great for you. Carbs are great for you. And people need to remember that.
I want to talk about journaling. So I see that you always post a lot about journaling and making sure you write things down. When did you start intermingling that into your lifestyle?
I've only honestly started journaling, I'd say maybe I got more like more seriously into it like the beginning of like the pandemic and all of that, but kind of was playing around with it before. But since university or undergrad university, I struggled with anxiety and concrete thinking, and just kind of when I'd get really overwhelmed and have a lot on my plate, which as a medical student is a lot of the time I have a lot on my plate, I just like don't want to do anything at all, and I'm just like don't even know where to start. And I was never even the kid to keep an agenda in elementary school. I was like, oh, I can remember it. It's fine. It's in my head. Yeah. But I learned like just putting things on paper is just so relieving to just like organize it and see it in front of you. And so journaling doesn't need to be like profound or romantic for me. It doesn't need to be these like beautiful paragraphs, beautifully said with like metaphors and analogies. It can literally just be like, what do you want to do today? How are you going to do it? What are your priorities today? So like, writing out like, I want to make sure I still work out today, even though I have a lot of work, or make sure I still want to have like a positive attitude about this and not let it get to me, etc. So that's kind of the main thing I do when I journal every day. But another big one is the idea of manifesting. And people who don't know what that means, it's basically manifesting is just talking in terms of you already having these things that you want. And so it's saying like, I am successful, instead of I wish I was successful. And kind of bringing that energy to you. And I think it just ties, the reason it works is just it ties so closely with your confidence. So if you keep saying, I am successful, you will walk around the rest of the day with that kind of energy, and you will attract people to you because they'll say, oh, look, that person's successful. Look at the confidence they're walking with, et cetera. So I totally believe that works. And I just kind of use journaling to kind of put out the things that I want and just be grateful and send that out to the universe, et cetera, whatever you want to call it, and just like hope it comes back. And I've enjoyed it.
I want to talk about your clothing line. So I literally saw you post this yesterday. And I was like, wait, what is this about? So please, if you can, if you want to talk about it, talk about your clothing line or the concept of it.
Totally. Yeah. So literally, this been like, I think like a week since I decided I wanted to do this. And I'm the kind of person, like, if I have an idea and I'm passionate about something, like, I will get it done and I will do it and make it work. So yeah, like literally Monday night, I had this idea and like now it's Friday and I've already kind of started a social media account for it and kind of started micro-publicizing it, even though we're still in the process of actually making the clothing. But essentially it's called Inclusive Health Collection and it's going to be a line of clothing that I've designed, essentially just like hoodies and crew necks, that kind of thing for now, that are all that have slogans surrounding the idea of holistic health in kind of all aspects. So on one end, it's holistic health in terms of intuitive eating. And like I mentioned, like health is not just what you eat. It's just taking care of yourself. But also in light of the pandemic, just the importance of mental health and spiritual health and social health. And it's not enough to make sure you're eating only healthy ingredients, make sure you're actually healthy in all aspects of your life. And the proceeds, part of the proceeds will be going towards the Frontline Fund, which is an organization that provides support to frontline workers throughout Canada and different hospitals, and essentially mental health support, financial support, anything they kind of need right now. Because as a medical student, even though I'm not at that point where I'm on the front lines just yet, I can definitely see the impact it's been having on a lot of people's lives. And these people who are taking care of everyone else's health don't always have the time to take care of their own. So it's inclusive in that sense as well, and saying that health should be for everyone and shouldn't be just for the people, like for the people providing it, they need to be healthy too. And yeah, it's basically just going to encompass health, inclusivity in all aspects. So also something I'm really passionate about is finding ways to make health and medicine and medical access inclusive for all populations, all socioeconomic statuses, all races, etc. So I'm really excited to see where it goes. It's definitely like a budding passion project at the moment, but we're aiming to launch by early to mid December. And yeah, there'll be like a link on my website. I'm really excited to see it. I love the sweaters. I saw the first ones last night and I'm just over the moon. I'm so excited.
Wow, I'm so happy for you. I can't wait to see what it's going to look like.
Thank you.
And really, that's excited. Such a great idea that you're going to give back while also doing this. That's amazing.
Thanks. I'm really, yeah, great.
What have you learned so far about yourself in quarantine?
Oh, that's a good question. I was actually thinking about this the other day. I saw this like post and it's like, how have you measured your time in quarantine? Like, what are you using? Because time kind of seems, I'm sure to a lot of us, a little warm right now in some ways, like it's barely moving and nothing's happening. And in other ways, you're like, I cannot believe it's already November and we've been dealing with this since March. So it's pretty crazy to think about. And my life before in March or February, I guess, before we started quarantine was just so different in so many ways than it is now. And kind of taking the time to reflect on that was really beneficial to myself. And I definitely think throughout quarantine, I also did a lot of reflecting on myself. And I'm a very go, go, go person. I've always enjoyed being busy and being active, et cetera. But having the time to slow down was actually really great for me to kind of think about these things. So what's the biggest thing I learned about myself? I think I really missed spontaneity throughout quarantine. Yeah. I am the kind of person, I need to be like routinely on routine and kind of change things up, change up my environment. I just don't like being at a standstill for so long, which is another reason why I'm really excited to go into medicine. But so even though it's something I couldn't do much about, I definitely realized that I enjoyed change and I enjoyed kind of dynamic environments. And that's something that now I can prioritize moving forward into my career and finding something that suits that. And I think the other thing that I learned about myself, and this is kind of super niche, but just learning to work out because it makes me feel good and not to have any like end goals and not have like classes I signed up for I have to go to. But a huge adjustment for me was learning like, oh, a home workout's something you need to just be intrinsically motivated to do, and like realizing that you need to work out for yourself to be healthy. It doesn't even matter if you're not seeing anyone, or doesn't matter if you're went on a walk, or like you can do whatever you need to do, but movement is just so important. And I think it's created a really beneficial relationship for me in working out, which has been really nice as well.
So the final question is, who has inspired you so far in your life?
I feel like I don't know if I could ever pinpoint one person that has inspired me more than anyone else in life. I think something that I've learned along the line is if you don't need to take advice from everyone and you don't have to listen to everyone's opinions about your life, if you don't want your future to look like theirs, if that makes sense. So if someone has negative criticism to say about me or isn't happy with what I'm doing, I think to myself, like, do I want to be like that person? Because their advice probably works for them, but I think it's different for everyone. And I try to surround myself with people who I look at them and I'm like, wow, I would love to have that kind of aspect in my life. And I feel like everyone who's close to me in some way, there's something can be like, yeah, that quality, like I wish I had that. And I love that I can have this person in my life to kind of draw that energy off from and add it to myself. So I don't know if there's like one person, but I feel like honestly, like all my family members, all my close friends, I feel like I'm just inspired by different things every day. And I think that's just the best way to kind of gain new perspectives instead of just focusing on one source.
That's great. So thank you so much for being on this podcast. Please plug yourself with where they can find you.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been really, really fun. I honestly really like these questions. They're doing such a good mix of things. Well, my Instagram is at wellness_MD. That's also my TikTok. And my website is wellness-md.ca. Pretty standard across the board. But yeah, that's me. Thank you again. This has been so nice.
Also plug the clothing line Instagram so they can stay updated.
Thank you. Yes, it's called Inclusive Health Collection, and that's that on Instagram. And then in terms of the website, there'll be a link through my website to kind of get there. But yes, Instagram is honestly the best way to ever reach me.
Yes, so you guys heard her. Make sure you guys go follow her on Instagram, TikTok. Make sure you follow the clothing line Instagram. And thank you so much, Noam, for being a guest on here. Make sure you guys, well, it's not like, but rate on Apple Podcasts, follow on Spotify, and I'll catch you on the next one. Bye.